Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Fan Junkies Radio. I am your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, Mr. McShane, Mike McShane. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay, Jonathan. I had a really tough weekend, rough. I felt like I was coming down with something, you know? And, I had the sweats and the chills, and, I'm thinking I'm getting the flu. I finally figured out it was I'm going through withdrawal from good sports. That's what it was.
I thought it was the NFL Pro Bowl. I thought that's why you were feeling ill.
Well, it was the same thing, withdrawal from good sports. What can I tell you? I mean, this open week between the NFC and AFC championships and the Super Bowl. Brutal, man. Just brutal. I mean, no one has been able to find anything to appropriately put in there to give us poor sports fans something to take the edge off. I mean, seriously.
Well, we had hockey.
Well, yeah.
Did you watch any of the games, or are you still into that little drive day where, it's not, I can't watch it until we get closer to the playoffs.
No. I watched some of the games. We watched some of those. Yeah, we had hockey, and of course basketball's going, but.
Did Sidekick actually watch any hockey with you guys?
Oh, I doubt it highly. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't here this weekend, and I'm sure he's sticking to his guns on that one. He's not going to watch any hockey.
He'll watch one before the season's over.
We'll get him to watch. I mean, listen, look what St. Louis is doing. They're doing pretty well. So.
Well, if he's a big St. Louis fan, he should be following his Blues right now.
That's right.
But he's not.
Yeah. So that was my weekend.
Yeah.
Chills and oh man, it was a bad, just bad situation. So.
Yeah. Well, I hear you, man.
Hopefully, it gets better from here.
Seems like we both had bad weekends. Yours based on sports, mine based on trying to strangle a car dealer. But yeah, it was both a bad weekend for both of us. But let's get into everything that we have to talk about here today, Mike, because we have a lot to talk about. First, let's talk about the Pro Bowl, Mike.
We have to. Okay.
But not from the basis of covering it and looking at the box score. No, we're going to talk about the Pro Bowl because it's awful, and it's time to get rid of the Pro Bowl. That's how we feel here at Fan Junkies Radio. If you like the Pro Bowl, please call in at 347-237-5373.
I'm sure the lines are going to be lighting up.
Oh, yeah. Look at them already lighting up. They're all red, which means no, we hate it. Okay, well, let's talk about this. So, okay, first of all, NFC defeated the AFC 62-35. It looked like a high school basketball game to score.
You're not kidding.
Whatever. Eli Manning, 2 touchdowns. Russell Wilson was and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees were the only ones that didn't throw interceptions in this game. But Kyle Rudolph, tight end,
yeah.
122 yards, 1 touchdown. Basic NFL numbers, Mike. Nothing special for an all-star game, you would think. He was the MVP of this Pro Bowl.
MVP numbers, baby. Come on. Are you kidding me? This
MVP. Not A.J. Green, who had 3 touchdowns.
Oh, my gosh.
But Kyle Rudolph, who had 1 touchdown. I think the last time I watched an NFL Pro Bowl was probably around 1992, 1993, Mike.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Who is out there watching the Pro Bowl, and why are they watching the Pro Bowl?
Well, this game is an absolute joke. Let's get it straight, okay? I mean, we've been saying it now. A lot of us have been saying it for a couple of years, all right? The Pro Bowl, the AFC NFC Pro Bowl started back in 1970. And for all intent and purpose, I think it started out as a pretty good idea. And if you recall, at that particular time, it was the game that immediately followed the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so in some respects, I think a lot of us back in that time, early on, I think a lot of us did tune into it, because it was kind of a nice way to step off of football. You know, as I just pointed out, you know, going through that whole withdrawal situation, you know, we get so wrapped up. We as a fan base get so wrapped up in football. I mean, football is the best sport out there, bar none.
Yeah.
All right. And we get so wrapped up into it for 17 weeks and then the playoffs. And then, you know, you go into the Super Bowl and then it's over with. It's gone. That it does. There is a little bit of a withdrawal effect. And the Pro Bowl did a nice job there for quite a few years of kind of giving us that step down.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
I agree with that. I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you go back and take a look at the history of the Pro Bowl, there were some good games. There really were. You go back into the 70s, there were some good close games. 1973, the AFC won it 15-13.
Yeah.
1975, the NFC won it 23-20. I mean, even if you bring it forward into more contemporary eras, 1985, the NFC won it by 4 points, 28-24. It's really only been within the past 4 years that it has gotten so completely out of control. 2009, AFC won 41-34. 2010, NFC won 55-41.
Yeah.
Last year, AFC won it 59-41. 59-41. That's 100 points right there.
Yeah.
And then last night, we're looking at 62-35. This is a disgrace. This game is an absolute disgrace. Something happened somewhere along the way, because I think, what did you just say? You said the last time you saw a game was when?
Probably mid-90s, okay, late mid-90s. So, you know, I definitely exaggerate saying 92, 93. I'm just saying it's awful.
Yeah,
I just can't watch it.
Let's go back to 1996. That game was actually an overtime game.
Mm-hmm.
The AFC won that game 26-23.
Well, because people were actually playing coverage.
Yes.
You know, people were actually throwing hits. Now, here's my question for you, Mike. In order to keep the Pro Bowl around and keep it somewhat competitive, I mean, you can't do what the Major League Baseball did, which say whoever wins gets home field advantage, in the World Series. You can't do that.
Right.
Or maybe you can. Who knows, in the Super Bowl. Anyway, are they going to have to implement a rule like that in order to keep the Pro Bowl competitive, or are they going to have to stop playing it before the Super Bowl and then play it weeks and weeks and weeks after the Super Bowl just to give some, you know, these fans a little more football going into the spring?
Okay, well, I can answer. I'm going to answer it in two ways.
Go for it.
First of all, no, you can't put teeth into this game. You can't give teeth to this game. This game has always got to be an exhibition game. That's the only fair way around it,
yeah.
In my opinion. You know, they gave in Major League Baseball, they gave it some teeth by saying, you know, the whole concept there was to make sure that they didn't, you know, that they were actually strategizing. That, if you recall, I mean, that was the whole idea behind what Bud Selig did in implementing that whole policy change with the All-Star game in baseball.
Yeah.
It wasn't being taken seriously by the managers, and so therefore he put some teeth into it. This one, you can't. You can't put teeth into this.
Okay.
And really, when it comes right down to it, look, we don't do that in the NHL.
No.
There's no need to do it in the NBA.
No.
All right? Now, you want to fix this game? I can fix this game. I can fix the Pro Bowl, and you can keep it.
Go for it. Tell us how you would be able to fix the NFL Pro Bowl, Mike.
Okay, this is what I would do, and I've been proposing it now for a number of years. All right, here's what you do. You take all of the All-Stars from this previous season.
Yeah.
Now, if we think about it, folks, there's a little-known game at the very, very beginning of the next season in preseason called the Hall of Fame game.
Yes.
And here's what you do. You take all those All-Stars from this season. You send them to Canton. It's perfect, man. You've got the potential future All-Stars, Hall of Famers, meeting the past Hall of Famers. You make the Hall of Fame game the Pro Bowl. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You make it an exhibition game. They'll care about it. It's at the beginning of the
season. A legit exhibition game. Nothing like we saw yesterday.
Exactly. Now, think about what the Hall of Fame game is right now. Right now, the Hall of Fame game really is an extra game on somebody's schedule.
Yeah.
I don't know how they come up with choosing who the teams are, but this way you don't have to worry about giving an extra team. Because, you know, a lot of times those teams that get chosen for the Hall of Fame game, they don't like it. They don't want to have to play that extra preseason game.
Yeah.
They don't want to. They're going, you know, listen, four is enough as it is. So why don't you just do this? Make the Pro Bowl the Hall of Fame game. Hey, if you want to change the name of it, call it the Pro Bowl Hall of Fame game. Call it that if you want.
Yeah.
Keep Pro Bowl in there if you want, or don't. Call it the Hall of Fame game. I don't care. But to me, I think that makes the most sense, and I think that's the way you fix the game.
I'd like that. I'd like that a lot. You know, especially with these current Hall of Famers, if they don't want to play anything with full pads, and you know what, make a real exhibition game. Well, who knows, man? Make it a game of flag football. Who cares? As long as it's something fun.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, because honestly, I think I would watch that over what was on this weekend.
Absolutely.
I would actually watch it. If I could see Barry Sanders running up against.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, I see where you're going. You're saying.
I'm saying you take some current Hall of Famers that are now who could still move and play a little bit of football. You know what I mean? You take those and you put them up. Whoever gets elected to the NFL Pro Bowl, you know, squad or whatever, and you put them up against each other in a nice exhibition game. I'd watch that.
Well, you could turn the whole Hall of Fame thing into what they've done here in the NHL with the Winter Classic, where it could be a whole weekend-long thing. In fact, I think the Hall of Fame is a weekend-long event anyhow for the NFL. But you could have, starting out, you know, like the day before the Pro Bowl, the actual Pro Bowl, where they are, you know, they're you know, they got pads on and they're going to go out there, they're going to hit, they're going to play a game, an exhibition game. You could have an alumni game, as you're mentioning. Do an alumni game.
Yeah.
And then the next day, after, say, the Hall of Fame inductions and speeches and all that sort of thing. After that, then go in and have your Pro Bowl or call it a Hall of Fame game. But that would be the game that would be made up of all your all-stars from the previous year. And here's the other beauty about this. You don't miss out on not having those players that obviously were not in attendance yesterday because perhaps maybe they're playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There were all-stars from both the 49ers and from the Ravens who, you know, they're not making the trip for the Pro Bowl. They're preparing for the Super Bowl. So by doing it at the Hall of Fame game, in fact, you'd have all the proper representation of all the teams.
Well, you're right. I mean, you know what? Look at the players who even pulled out of this Pro Bowl that aren't even playing in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And look at the players that have pulled out every year in years past because they just didn't want to do it.
And the fact of the matter is they don't want to because they know that they can opt out of it. That's the whole thing. They know they can opt out of it. Their season's over. There's nothing holding them. If you put it at the beginning of the season, guess what? They have no choice. You can't opt out of it. It's the beginning of the season, dude. It's not the end.
Yeah.
See? So I think it makes sense to put it right there.
I agree with you, Mike. I definitely agree with you. But before we go any further, we got a phone call. And it's our good friend Brett from New Jersey. What's going on, buddy?
There you go.
What's up, guys? How are you today?
Hey, Brett.
Doing good, doing good. What's on your mind, pal?
I just wanted to call and talk to you guys a little bit about the Pro Bowl. I mean, it's a joke anymore. You know, I'm with you, John. I don't think I've watched it since the late 90s or maybe early 2000s at this point.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and when it comes down to, I think the players look at this more as like a nice vacation to Hawaii than they do, you know, any type of game. And that's why the game has no meaning. So there's a few things that I think need to be done. I think Michael is on to something when he says we need to start incorporating some retired NFL stars. And maybe a flag football style competition may be the answer for that. I mean, I think it'd be cool to see, you know, Larry Fitzgerald and Calvin Johnson on the same field as, you know, Jerry Rice and Chris Carter, things like that. I think that would be really cool to see. I think the game needs to get out of Hawaii. I think Hawaii is a big issue. I think it causes a disconnect that's, unnecessary with the continental 48 states.
Yeah.
So I think it needs to maybe be on the same field as the Super Bowl is every year, the week earlier. And another idea that I really think they need to go with is I really think they need to look into a skills competition. And I think you guys mentioned that already as well. But when you look at the NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA, most fans look forward to those skills competitions the day before than they do the actual game. And it would be really cool to, you know, I think back in the 90s, the NFL did the quarterback competition. I can't remember the name that it was called, but they had
the quarterback challenge. Yeah,
that was fantastic. I enjoyed that more than I enjoyed the game. But to do that, you know, have the wide receivers run a drill, have the running backs run a drill, maybe a field goal competition, a punt, pass, and kick type thing. I mean, the things out there are endless. The ideas are endless, and I really think that the NFL is missing the ball by not capitalizing on something like that. And then also, the last thing, the fourth point I'll make, is the game just needs some kind of meaning. It's clear that this isn't working out with the extra paycheck and the bragging rights of making it to the Pro Bowl. It's just not working. And I don't know what they need to do to make it seem worth it, but maybe one thing, and I think I read this in an article in the last few days, but one thing that was really intriguing is maybe give the team, whatever conference wins the Pro Bowl, give that team the following week in the Super Bowl. You know, that is, they just won the toss. You know, that gives them the opportunity to make that initial decision with whatever what they want to do at the beginning of the game. Choose their side, choose whether they're receiving the ball, actually make it kind of worth something. And they were just a few ideas that I had when it came to the Pro Bowl.
I like that idea, actually. I honestly, I really do. But also with the, you know, with the whole competition and skills competition, to me, whether that's in baseball, NHL, or NBA, to me, those were the most exciting things about All-Star Weekend in those sports. Mm-hmm. You know what? You could do anything. You could take all six quarterbacks that played yesterday, Luck, Shaw, Eli Manning, Peyton, Breeze, and Wilson. You could see who is the most accurate quarterback, who is the fastest quarterback, who is able to get out of the pocket quicker. You could do so many competitions based on the quarterbacks alone, mm-hmm. not even counting running backs, receivers, cornerbacks, safeties, defensive ends, whatever, kickers and punters. How far can a kicker kick? Let's put some circles out in the field and let's see a punter punt it. If you can get it into the middle of bullseye down the field, that's points. You know what I mean? I mean, there's so many different things you could do. And, Brett, I agree with you. I think that would want to make people watch the Pro Bowl more often.
Yeah. I mean, some of the coolest things about that, the quarterback challenge from the 90s where, you know, watching those quarterbacks throw at that moving, you know, the targets that were smaller and smaller 50 yards down the field, you know, watching things like that, watching how far they can throw a football. You know, we hear all the time, and they bring it up in games every week, about how field goal kickers are nailing 65-yard and 70-yard field goals in the pregame. Okay, that's great. Let's see it now. Things like that, I think, would add to the intrigue of the weekend and maybe make it something that fans actually look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Mike, what do you think about the whole thing? If, let's say, NFC won yesterday, okay. Well, guess what? NFC won the coin toss in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What do you think of something like that to give it some sort of meaning? Because we can't do home field advantage, NFC or AFC in the Super Bowl, because it really doesn't matter. What about something like that?
I guess it wouldn't hurt. That's similar. That's somewhat similar to what I guess. In fact, that even has less of an impact, really, than Major League Baseball's All-Star game. Major League Baseball, my gosh, you're talking about home field advantage for the.
Well, exactly. I mean, what can you really do that could take the side of what the MLB does? You really can't.
Put some teeth into it.
Yeah, you really can't do it with the NFL. So it would have to be something like that. Where okay, NFC won. Well, guess what? 49ers won the coin toss in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be some people, sponsors and what have you, that aren't going to like it because that does away with the whole coin toss.
You may be able to even do it so that maybe it carries over to the next season when NFC teams play those interconference or those games against the AFC and you know and vice versa when they play those teams of the opposite conference. Maybe if it's not for the Super Bowl, maybe it's then, you know, maybe whatever conference wins, you know, you have the say at the beginning of each of those, you know, however many games. I think, what's it, four games a year that they play against the other conference?
Yeah.
You know, something like that. You know, it could be, even if it's something like that. I don't know. I'll just toss some ideas out there. But the game needs meaning. And people aren't going to watch a game that has no meaning. And it's ridiculous. And it's been proven across the, you know, with every sport.
Yeah.
Well, look, let's get it straight. The NFL recognizes that the game doesn't even have any meaning. I don't think it was any better epitomized than yesterday when you've got somebody like Jeff Saturday flipping the line, and all of a sudden now he's sending the ball back. He's centering the ball back to Peyton Manning. That's a joke. When you got Ed Hockley coming on and calling a penalty and going and announcing to the audience, yes, folks, there are penalties in the Pro Bowl. Look, the NFL itself is recognizing this game is a joke.
It is a joke. And I also agree with Brett where I think they need to get it out of Hawaii, bring it back to the continental 48 states, and really make it an entire weekend. Or if you're not, you know, make it the week, you know, keep it in the Super Bowl stadium. I mean, you got to do something. something has to be done because this is just a joke of a competition. And I hate to even call it a competition, but
unlike other All-Star games too, exhibitions, I kind of feel this one is geared more towards the players, where all of the other All-Star events really are geared towards the fans when you think about it.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, you know, Major League Baseball, that's an event for the fans. That's all. That's like 2 or 3 days in a row where they're doing something. Same
well, you know,
with the NHL. Same thing with NBA.
Yeah, well, you know what? Not even that. When your player of your favorite team makes the All-Star game in the NBA, the NHL, MLB, it means something. It means that, you know, you could boast about it. You can't wait for the All-Star game. Wow, you're having an All-Star, like, you know, season or whatever. With this, I you know, every time a Jet made the Pro Bowl, I didn't feel that way.
Dude, that's a good point.
Who cares? You know, Cromartie and Landry, you know, while Laurent Landry made the Pro Bowl, who cares?
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you. I mean, I couldn't tell you whether there was a Philadelphia Eagle represented yesterday or not. I have no idea, nor do I give a damn.
Yeah.
There wasn't. The only alternate that the Eagles had was Evan Mathis. Maybe something else they could possibly do is get celebrities involved. I mean, baseball does a really good job with that. They do a celebrity softball tournament that's, you know, pretty fun to watch. It's on ESPN 2 days before the All-Star game. And basketball does it, too. And the basketball one, actually, I enjoy the celebrity thing more than I, you know, like watching the actual NBA basketball game. I mean, maybe that's something they could do as well. Get some celebrities in a flag football contest.
Absolutely. You know what? Let me tell you. In the early 90s to mid-90s, I enjoyed the Rock and Jock softball and the Rock and Jock basketball on MTV so much because you had some former players going with these celebrities, and then you had, like, these little hot spot shots on the court and stuff like that. They could easily do that with a flag football competition. And you know what? They do, but nobody watches the Pro Bowl, so nobody cares. I mean, they have to make it a bigger event in order to have it. If it's in the middle of a park somewhere in Hawaii that nobody cares at 11 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday on NBC, nobody's going to watch it.
Yeah.
If it's right before the game on a field adjacent to where they're going to have the Pro Bowl or the Hall of Fame game that we would like to call it,
right,
you know, and you have some bigger celebrities, I mean, people are going to tune in and watch this stuff. So I definitely agree.
That's why I'm saying I think that this game has really turned into being more player-centric than it is fan-centric.
To me, I mean, if you're one of these players, why even play in the Pro Bowl? Wouldn't you want to be home with your family by now? You know what I mean? If it's just all about them, say, okay, well, get rid of the Pro Bowl. Let me be home with my family. You know? But let me ask you this now, too, real quick, both of you guys, before we get off the subject. NFL wants to add more games to the schedule. Could you see the NFL taking the Pro Bowl, giving these players, let's say they play 10 games, they get a two-week break, Pro Bowl played during that week, you know, in that two-week break, and then back for another 10 games? Could you ever see something like that happening?
No.
No?
No, I can't.
I don't either.
I can't because I think there's just way too much risk of injury. On top of which, Jonathan, if you think the product you're getting right now is diluted, go ahead, throw it in the middle of the season. It's even going to be more diluted. Nobody's going to give an effort in a game like that when you've got the rest of the season on the line.
Yeah. It's a shame. It's definitely a shame, but yeah, Pro Bowl needs to be banished.
I think it's a matter of time. I think it's going to happen. I mean, Goodell has insinuated it now for a couple of seasons. I think yesterday was the icing on the cake.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, listen, high school score. It was, I don't know. I didn't watch it, thankfully. Brett, did you watch it?
The Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
No, there were 6 or 7 other things on my TV that I would have watched even before I gave the Pro Bowl an opportunity.
Oh, so what? You didn't DVR it and fast forward through it? No.
No, I haven't even seen a highlight yet. I don't know anything aside from the ESPN breaking news text score that I got after the game was over last night.
There you go.
Yeah.
So
right.
That tells you about how important it is.
Okay. So basically, the general consensus here at Fan Junkies Radio is screw the NFL Pro Bowl. So. That's it.
Yeah,
well, that's it for the Pro Bowl for us. Before we go into our next little NFL tidbit, just want to throw out there for everybody, if you're a professional wrestling fan, Brett is the owner and editor over at WrestleChat.net. Check it out. Great wrestling news site. And also a little bit of news is that myself, along with Brett, we're going to be bringing WrestleChat right here to Fan Junkies Radio starting tomorrow, Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Is that correct, Brett?
Yes, it is. I really look forward to talking wrestling with all of the listeners and the followers of the site for the last few years. And you know, this has been something they've been asking for and requesting for a long time. And so it's going to be really fun to be able to go over some big topics and communicate with those people a little bit more.
Yeah, and you can also call into this number, 347-237-5373, starting tomorrow as well, to ask myself, ask Brett some questions, and also we'll have some, hopefully some potential guests in the future as well, some former and current professional wrestlers, so we'll work hard to get this done. So, Brett, looking forward to tomorrow, my friend.
Yes, I am too.
Thanks so much, buddy.
Take care, guys.
Take care.
All right, see you.
It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
That's good use of Tuesday, I'm telling you. Absolutely. Get tour programming in there.
Absolutely. You know, Tuesdays are wide open. Mike, you wrote the Frat House here to Fan Junkies Radio every Saturday.
Yep.
Myself, along with a couple of writers from Ranger Nation, NYRNation.net, we're going to be bringing back Ranger Nation Radio. We're going to bring it right here on Fan Junkies Radio every Sunday. So you can look forward to a continuous 7-day program
almost
here on Fan Junkies Radio. And
yep,
we're definitely going to fill up that Thursday slot. We're already in talks with a few people about it. So
yep,
it's going to be great. Back to the NFL real quick, though, Mike. Baltimore Ravens safety Bernard Pollard said in 30 years the NFL will not exist. You read the comments. You've even said something about this before. What do you think of what Bernard Pollard said yesterday?
Well, this has been something that I've kind of been sounding the alarm about for all the past number of seasons.
Yes.
That it gravely concerns me. And, you know, as we continue to move forward with conversations with regard to head injuries, long-term effect of concussions, we've just had the information released that Junior Seau's family apparently is suing the league. This situation is not going away.
Yeah.
And so one has to, you have to start to look at it and say, okay, wait a minute. Either the game is going to be dramatically changed, or potentially it's not going to exist. And where I have contended that we're looking at a very uncertain future is not with the NFL as we know it right now, but with the trickle-down effect that it's going to be having into high schools, into Pop Warner leagues, into colleges, where people are just not going to allow their youngsters to be playing football any longer,
yeah,
that they're going to be concerned. And the more that that kind of thing spreads, that's the future of the league. That's the future of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have anything feeding into that, then in fact, you're not going to have a future.
Yeah.
And that's really where I'm mostly concerned about, and that's where I've expressed my I guess, anxiety about it, has been, what's going to happen down there at that level? President Obama made the comment just the other day that if he had a son, he would give serious consideration to whether he would allow him to play football.
Yeah.
And when you've got the President of the United States making comments like that, which certainly I'm sure there were a number of people in minor league football leagues, maybe even in the NFL, that kind of cringed a bit when he says it, because make no mistake, the President has the biggest – he's got the biggest pulpit of all of us.
Oh, absolutely.
When he's making a comment like that, then you got to start to wonder.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And I'm going to throw out a quote here from Bernard Pollard. Start quote, "The league is trying to move in the right direction with player safety, but at the same time, coaches and teams want bigger, stronger, and faster year in and year out.
Yep.
And that means you are going to keep getting big hits and concussions and blown out knees. The only thing I'm waiting for, and Lord, I hope it doesn't happen, is a guy dying on the field. We have had everything else happen here except for a death. We understand what we signed up for, and it sucks," end quote. Mike, this is something you and I have already spoken about on Fan
yeah.
Junkies Radio in the past. Is it ever going to happen that a guy is going to pass away, God forbid as well, on the NFL field? Because with the way things are going, I mean, every year it gets closer and closer to something like that happening.
It's somewhat surprising, Jonathan, that we haven't seen it really in some respects up to this point.
Well, we've been close.
Yeah, we sure have.
You know, a couple of times throwing out names, you know, Dennis Byrd, one of them. I mean, you know what? His neck could have cracked the wrong way. That would have been it for him, you know. And that was years and years and years ago.
Well,
so,
we found out earlier in the year, this year, what, Danny Amendola went down. They didn't realize how severe the injury was. He could have died right there on the spot.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we've heard those kinds of stories before from others.
Yeah.
Like I said, in some respects, I guess, you know, we're kind of surprised it hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
We have seen everything when you think about it.
Listen, I agree with almost everything Bernard Pollard said. I don't think he's trying to tell you that, listen, the NFL is not going to exist because they're going to drive it into the ground.
Yeah.
He's saying that the NFL is not going to exist in 30 years because of all the injuries that they have no choice but to stop those injuries from happening now. And to stop those injuries from happening now, you're not going to see the big hits. You're not going to see the bigger, faster players.
Right.
Soon, you know, something's going to have to happen. And the NFL is just to a point where people are getting severely injured now. They really need to figure out what to do with it. So, you know, listen, Bernard Pollard is one of those guys known for devastating hits.
Yeah.
I mean, that hit he put on Stephon Ridley, last week was nuts.
Yeah.
Was nuts. And that's not the first time he's done that against the Patriots. But, listen, if he's out there and that's what he's known for, he's got to play the way he plays.
Yeah, and you make a good point. I think what Pollard is actually saying is there's a yin and a yang here, all right?
Yeah.
And the yin is that, you know, we as a fan base have become used to the big guys, the faster guys, the monstrous hits, all right? There it is. There's the pressure coming from the fan base.
Yeah.
The pressure coming down from the league and from health officials is make it a safer game, make it a safer game, make it a safer game. As they continue to try to make it a safer game, we as a fan base are going to sit back and go, damn, that's not the game we remember. That's not the way the game was played. That's not the way the game should be played.
No.
That's what's going to happen, that you're going to have this confluence of disparagement going on between what we, even as a fan base, recognize to be probably the right thing to do, and yet what we've become so used to and expecting from this particular sport that it may just get to a point where it's irreconcilable.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know what? It's amazing from where the NFL has come from, Mike, to where it is today. I mean, you have a sport where guys would play with leather helmets, no pads, nothing, and you get some injuries, but nothing like you see today. Now you have all of these, helmets that help with concussions, pads that help you from breaking bones and all that stuff, but yet we still see nothing but concussions and broken bones.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. And well, I have to agree with Bernard Pollard. The next step, I never want to see anybody go through it, but eventually somebody's going to end up dying on this football field, Mike.
Yeah.
And that's when you're going to see a lot of things change, not only just in football, in a lot of the other sports, and it's going to change very, very quickly.
Jonathan, I'm going to tell you right now, if it were to happen, I think you would see an automatic suspension of the game immediately.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, listen, this isn't hockey where, you know, Clint Malarchuk, Richard Zednik, whatever, where you see these guys get sliced with a skate. That happens. I mean, there's really no way around that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But this is something where you could see with the product that is being put on the field, as Bernard Pollard said, the teams want players that are bigger, stronger, faster. He says now you got 350-pound guys running 4.5 and 4.4 seconds.
Right.
They want scout run blockers. They want linemen to move walls. Eventually, these guys are going to be so big and they're going to be so powerful that they're going to be knocking people out left and right. Mm-hmm. And what's going to lead to that is somebody fatally being injured, Mike. And like I said, I hope to God we never see it. I hope to God it never happens. But at the same time, with the way it's going, you can almost sense that it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we don't want it. We don't want to even want to think about it. But I think, you know, we can't put our head in the sand.
No, yeah. Well, listen, we don't want to think about it, but we have to think about it. You know, especially when guys like Bernard Pollard come out and say that. You know,
right.
You got no choice. But all right, let's get off the football for a little bit here. We spent most of our show talking football. We apologize for that. Wednesday, maybe even Friday, we'll get into our Super Bowl predictions, so we'll give you a day, maybe two, without football.
I'm not apologizing for that. I'm not apologizing for talking football, because there won't be, I mean, you know, it's going to come shortly where we're not going to talk much about it.
I don't apologize for talking football. I apologize for talking about people dying on the football field.
Oh, well, okay. I got you there.
You know, we like to go with a nice, friendly, fun show here. It keeps you happy. And then when you got to talk about that stuff, it's, you know, unfortunately it sucks, but.
We can't put our head in the sand.
Yeah, we can't. NHL now, Mike. Let's talk standings here. Throw out some first place teams. In the Atlantic, New Jersey's in first place with 7 points. Northeast, Boston and Ottawa tied 7 points apiece. Tampa Bay in the Southeast with 8 points. Now let's get to the Western Conference here, because a lot of good teams in the Western Conference right now,
yeah,
Mike.
Sure are.
Chicago in the Central, 12.6-0. St. Louis in second place, 10.5-1.
Mm-hmm.
Northeast, Minnesota, Vancouver, 5 points each. That's wide open right there. Excuse me, in the Northwest. In the Pacific, though, San Jose, 5-0, 10 points. Patrick Marleau is just on a freaking tear, Mike.
Incredible. Incredible. He broke a record the other night, which hasn't been touched in 95 years. Kind of came as a shock to me. I would have thought that record would have been broken, and that was that he scored 2 goals in his first 4 games. That is 4 games consecutively. Apparently, that particular record had not been touched in 95 years. I kind of sat there scratching my head and shaking it a little bit and going, really? That record? You would have thought somebody would have broken that.
Well, you know, with all the talent we've seen trickle through the NHL, you know, the Jagers, the Lemieux, the Gretzky's, the whatnots, and then here comes Patrick Marleau,
right?
Who's, you know, he's not a spring chicken in the game of hockey anymore.
Right.
He's been around for a while now, and here he goes, boom. And now, 9 goals in a season, 13 points. He's leading both categories. You know, right behind him is Zach Parise, Minnesota Wild, as well as Marian Hossa of the Blackhawks, Gaborik of the Rangers, and Winnick of the Ducks, all tied at 5 goals each.
Right.
Or, excuse me, a piece. So.
He certainly does have quite a lead there already, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, scoring 8 in 4 games doesn't help. Doesn't hurt.
Oh, absolutely not. You know what? We got to throw this out, too. What about Martin St. Louis? Eight assists already. 11 points on the season. That's a guy that, Mike, we spoke about it with the lockout, and we said 48 games, you're going to see guys like Martin St. Louis play really good.
Yeah.
And it came out of our mouths, Mike, did it not?
It certainly did, and I'm going to tell you, I've always liked the guy, and couldn't happen to a nicer guy, in my opinion, personally. I like him, and I think it's terrific. I think it's terrific.
Agree. NHL and assist 10. Wins, goalies. Corey Crawford, 5 wins for the Blackhawks. Right behind them, Antti Niemi, Sharks. Craig Anderson for the Senators, Brodeur. And Halak from the St. Louis Blues. It's definitely not the list of names that you would thought you would see by now, Mike.
Brodeur, how about that one, huh?
Yeah.
1.69 GAA. 1.69 GAA right now.
Yeah. And he's got one shutout. So.
Yep.
This is the kind of season where a guy like Brodeur, you know what, is happy that it locked out.
Yep.
You know, but whatever. We'll see what happens.
All right, so let's take a look at this, though, for a moment. Teams that right now do not have a loss. Chicago, not necessarily a surprise. San Jose, though. That comes as a little bit of a shock right now.
Yeah.
5-0. They're 5-0.
This is a team that we always talk about saying, oh, well, this could be the Sharks here. What happens? They never play up to par with the players that they have on their team.
Yep.
Right away, 5-0. 23 goals that they scored, only 8 goals against.
Now, I mean, Jersey doesn't have a loss either, but they do have an overtime tie. Same thing with Boston. Boston doesn't have a loss, but they have that one overtime tie.
Yeah.
But both San Jose and Chicago, no overtime ties at all. And, in fact, all of the games they've played, they've won. And like I say, Chicago doesn't come as a shock to me. But, you know, Jonathan, here we go. As we've been mentioning now for the past couple of weeks since hockey kicked back up again, this is that type of season. When you get an early lead out like San Jose potentially could, this might be the year that you see them, you know, as we're joking about it and saying, you know, it seems like every year we're saying, well, okay, this might be the year that San Jose makes a go. This might be the type of year that they get the opportunity to make a go at it.
Yeah, you know what? In the West, you can automatically look at Chicago, St. Louis, and San Jose and say, okay, these are the three teams that are going to be making the playoffs. St. Louis, as you know, Mike, I picked. I still have them going to the Stanley Cup Finals in my book. Eastern Conference, it's wide open. It's wide open from the best team to the worst team. Everybody, nobody has yet hit double-digit points. And honestly, everybody is within 7 to 8 points of each other. Wide open. So who knows where, you know, who's going to make the playoffs from the Eastern Conference. But you look at the Western. Blackhawks, Blues, Sharks, right off the bat, you know they're going to get in there. So.
You would think if the trend continues.
Yeah, if they start sliding, I'd be shocked. You know, if they start to slide, that's because the other teams are finally playing up to par. They're getting their conditioning in. They're starting to get that camaraderie with their new teammates.
And I think
see it.
But you're still seeing a lot of that trying to gel together in the East, which is why you're seeing what you're seeing.
You know, Rangers, Flyers, Leafs, Montreal, Carolina, Washington, you know, 1-3-1 with 3 points. Florida, 1-4 with 2 points. You know what? Even in the West, you got Detroit, you got Nashville, Phoenix, Los Angeles. You got a lot of teams still trying to gel together, and they eventually will, but by that point, is it going to be too late because of teams like Chicago, St. Louis, and San Jose playing like they've been playing together for the last 18 years?
Right.
Non-stop. So.
Exactly.
Right. So.
That's the kind of season we're in, folks.
Yep, definitely. It's going to be a good one. I know that for a fact. So. Let's go to NBA here, Mike. Let's look at the standings here. Eastern Conference, New York still has a two-game lead over the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets in the Atlantic. Chicago now in first place in the Central, got a half-game lead over Indiana. Miami 4.5 game over Atlanta in the Southeast. On the Western tip, Oklahoma City out in the Northwest with a 7-game lead over Denver. Clippers 5.5 game lead over Golden State. Lakers 13 games out in third place. Southwest, San Antonio Spurs on an 8-game win streak, Mike.
Yep.
It's game lead over Memphis. Who are you shocked about the most?
Well, nothing in the West, that's for sure. That West right now is just exploding, and your leaders really just seem to be starting to really take control at this point.
Yeah.
Over in the East, what's surprising me? Well, Brooklyn's hanging in there. That's a bit of a surprise. Boston got some bad news yesterday, didn't they now?
Yes, Boston. Rajon Rondo, he tore his right ACL in Friday night's game. I can't remember exactly who they were playing, but that was the double overtime loss in Atlanta. So, yeah, tore his right ACL. He is done for the entire season, Mike.
Yeah, and at that point, you know, right now Boston just 5 games back of second place Brooklyn. You got to start to sit back and wonder, is Boston toast?
Yeah, listen, going out there right now, there is no way in Boston you could replace Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, I agree.
He said it themselves. Kevin Garnett came out. He is the heart and soul of this team. You can't replace a player like Rajon Rondo.
Yep.
Especially this late right now. I mean, you got the trade deadline coming up, but who are you going to go and get without trading a Paul Pierce?
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting anybody. Brooklyn's done. Boston's done, but that's good for Philadelphia. You might swing up into third place in the Atlantic there, Mike.
It's possible. Philadelphia needs a lot of work.
Well,
I'm not counting on it. Indiana's been a bit of a surprise to me this year, right?
You know why they're a surprise to me? Because they're without Danny Granger.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that from the beginning. They're going to hang tight a little bit, but when they get Granger back, it's going to be really good for them. But I can't believe that they are only a half game out in the Central behind this Bulls, but Bulls without Derrick Rose either. So,
right.
That's the weakest, division in the entire NBA right
NBA,
there.
Right.
Central and the Eastern Conference. So,
yep.
You know what? You look at every other team. You put Indiana and even Chicago in with the Atlantic, the Southeast, the Northwest, the Pacific, and the Southwest, and they'd be down in the rankings. So,
yeah, I mean the West right now. I mean is there a competitive division in there? I mean, seriously, you know, as you just went through it, OKC is 7 games ahead of Denver.
Yes.
The Clippers are 5.5 ahead of Golden State. San Antonio, 6 games now ahead of Memphis. And as you pointed out, San Antonio's 9-1 in their last 10.
Yeah.
You know, the West just seems to be dominated by the guys at the top. There it is.
Well, you take Miami, you take the Knicks out of the Eastern Conference, you put them in a Western Conference, they respectively be in third, fourth, and fifth place,
mm-hmm.
or tied for one of those spots. I don't think anybody thought San Antonio was going to be where they are right now, 36-11, leading the Western Conference over, you know, teams like Oklahoma City, the Clippers, and even Memphis, Golden State, and the Lakers. I don't think anybody saw that because they are an old basketball team.
Yes.
So, but good for them, you know, good for them. It's just, it's still early. More teams are going to win. Other teams are going to start sliding. You know what? That's what you have to worry about with San Antonio. As the season starts to progress, gets towards the end, Mike, is that age going to catch up to them? That's what you have to look at there. And if it does, teams like Oklahoma City and the Clippers, they're going to take advantage of it.
It seemed that was the case last year, didn't it? And that was even in a shortened season.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It really was. But, I mean, 8-game win streak, Mike. You got to give it to them.
Yep.
8-game win streak for what they have. Wow. Whatever. They're beating teams like the Phoenix Suns, teams that really aren't all that great, Mike, but they're doing it. I mean, a win is a win. A win is a win, and you can't take that away from them. So.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go into a little bit of a filler here. We have 15 minutes left in the show, which I'm shocked that we have that much time left in the show, Mike. I thought we spoke a lot about NFL, and we were going to ramble off and not get to this last piece here we wanted to talk about. But let's get into it. Chris Bosh, Miami Heat, comes out, says he's a Hall of Famer, and he's been a Hall of Famer since 4 years ago. Mike, you read this. What are your thoughts on it? Is this stunning to you? Is this egomaniacal of Chris Bosh to even call himself a Hall of Famer right now? Is he a Hall of Famer? What do you think?
I don't have his career numbers up, Jonathan. I'm sure you do.
I got them in front of me right now.
You probably have them up, and I'll let you answer the last question, whether he is a Hall of Famer or not, because I can't answer it intelligently. Here's my comment on it. I am so sick and tired. Does it come as a surprise to me? No, I guess not. I'm just so sick and tired of egomaniacal athletes. And, I don't know. It just seems that maybe it's by virtue of the fact that, the NBA is a smaller group. You only have 15 per team?
Yeah.
It's a smaller group. But man alive, why does it seem that the NBA has more egomaniac, nut jobs? For any person, I don't care who you are, I don't care what sport you play for, to be coming out and proclaiming yourself to be a Hall of Famer while you are still playing, that is just sick. First of all, that is someone else's decision to make. That is not yours.
Yeah.
And to sit around making comments like that, just absolutely, it just gets on my nerves. And again, I don't understand, the only, like I said, the only thing I can think of is that by virtue of the fact that there are fewer people to deal with, since we're talking about the NBA, that's the only reason I can think that the NBA just seems to be filled with guys like this.
Yeah, it seems to be. It's sad, Mike. It really is sad. So,
I want you to think about for a moment. Just think about some of your elite role model athletes in your past or in the future or right now that are playing right now. Guys that you look up to. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll throw one out. I'll throw a couple names out that I can think of. I can't imagine a Bernie Parent ever coming out and saying while he was playing, I'm a Hall of Famer. It wouldn't have happened.
Listen, you know what? Me growing up, guys like Mario Lemieux.
There you go.
Mark Messier, Wayne Gretzky. You never even heard them say it. And guess what? They were bona fide Hall of Famers by their fifth season in the NHL.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So just to say it, I know it's a family-friendly show, but the balls on this guy to say this. And I am going to come out there and say it. The balls on this guy to say it is just wow. Was he drinking that night? Was he on a high from something? Who knows?
I think, too, one has to look at it this way. That by virtue of making the statement, in many respects, to somebody like Chris Bosh, you know what he's doing?
Yeah.
He's actually demeaning the honor, in my opinion. Because when you can actually sit there and say, with a straight face,
yeah,
I'm a Hall of Famer, well then, wait a minute, you're putting yourself in there with the likes of, go ahead, start naming some.
What, in the NBA Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Even to put him on the same pedestal as a Dennis Rodman in the NBA Hall of Fame, I wouldn't even do.
Okay.
If Chris Bosh could right away say he's an NBA Hall of Famer right now, then why isn't a guy like Charles Oakley in the NBA Hall of Fame?
And see, my point is that by virtue of his even saying it, he demeans the status of Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, there's been a lot of guys on crappy teams for years who've been putting up great numbers. Why? Because they were the only player on that team.
Bingo.
If he didn't play, how many seasons? He played 7 or 8 seasons in Toronto. You take that away, his numbers are crap. His numbers are nothing. He's yet to get over 1,000 rebounds in a season. You know? Yeah, he breaks over 1,000 points in the NBA, but he should be. I mean, he is a premier player. I'm going to give him that. Mm-hmm. You know? But to come out and consider yourself a Hall of Famer and to say it so everybody can see it, wow!
Yeah, okay, now you've got his career numbers up there in front of you.
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right, so give me a thumbnail.
Okay, 13,000 plus points. He's got, let me see. Okay, he's 10 seasons now in the NBA.
Okay.
10 or 11. 13,000 points plus 748 blocks, 1,400 steals, 6,100 rebounds total. To me, there's nothing that screams Hall of Fame. But that's me, Mike. You know, I'm sorry. You know what? You look at some other power forwards that were, you know, around and in the NBA Hall of Fame at those times. I just don't see it.
8-time All-Star? Does that count for anything?
To me, that doesn't count as anything that should go against the Hall of Fame nod or for a Hall of Fame nod. I've always been against that. So.
How many championships? One, yes?
One, because he's the third wheel on a good team.
Correct.
You know.
Okay, so in your professional opinion, and again, I defer to you because you follow basketball and the NBA more than I do.
Yeah.
You say thumbs down on Bosch going to Hall of Fame.
Right now, no. Is he going to play another 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years? Who knows? You know, is he going to have 20,000 plus points when he's done with his NBA career? I don't know. But if it ended today, or you know what? Let's even go back to 4 years ago when he said he was an NBA Hall of Famer.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit. That's a bit of
under 10,000 points, under 5,000 rebounds. No.
Yeah, I would agree there. I mean, that's what makes his. You know, when you think about it, that's what makes his statement all the more ludicrous. But 9 seasons, though, Jonathan, you're not getting 9 more seasons out of Chris Bosh.
Hey, listen, we heard about this from the awesome Kelly Dwyer, Bull Don't Lie, over at Yahoo Sports. Love his blog, great stuff. He said that this is borderline stunning because modern athletes are conditioned not to speak like this.
Yeah.
He said, there's a reason why that the line, excuse me while I take my first step toward the Hall of Fame, was penned for Willie Mays Hayes in Major League as a joke. Because you don't come out and say that. Him saying it that he was 4 years ago was just as bad and as comical as Willie Mays Hayes saying it in his first game with the Cleveland Indians in Major League.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this. Bosch right now will be 29. He goes another 9 seasons. That would make him 38. I guess it's conceivable he could go 9 more seasons. That is, barring any kind of serious injury.
Yeah.
Listen,
you know what? You know, this is his 10th season in the NBA. He's been playing since he's 19. It's feasible. But I'm looking at his numbers right now and from 4 years ago when he said he was a Hall of Famer 4 years ago. It's a joke, Mike.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It is a joke. I'm sorry. If you take a guy like Chris Bosh, you let him post up against the likes of Dennis Rodman, Charles Oakley, Bill Laimbeer, some of these power forwards that were in their primes, he wasn't doing anything. He would have been 10 rows up inside the stadium because that's where they would have chucked this skinny guy.
The Yahoo article that you sent over to me, interesting line in here, basketball just doesn't have the sort of end-all numerical touchstones that baseball does. There's no 500 homers or 3,000 hits list. You know, those being the benchmarks to, like, for automatic induction.
Yeah.
You don't have those sorts of things in basketball. Let me ask you a question, Jonathan. Again, I defer to you as kind of the NBA guru here. If you were to look at a touchstone, which they're saying there doesn't seem to be one or two even set in stone, minimally, what do you need to get into the NBA Hall of Fame? What do you need from the standpoint of points?
From points, oh, you know what? I would think you would need anywhere between 18,000 and up, Mike, if you're looking at just points alone. But I'm going to use Dennis Rodman again. When you look at guys like Dennis Rodman who are in the Hall of Fame, he's in the Hall of Fame for a totally different reason. He's in the Hall of Fame for being one of the best rebounders that the NBA's ever seen.
Right.
For showing a hustle that nobody has ever shown by putting his body on the line, flying out of bounds, crashing into seats. This is something that made him a Hall of Fame player, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
What does Chris Bosh have on top of his stats that make him a Hall of Fame player? To me, nothing.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
To me, nothing. You look at guys like Jordan who made players around them better. That's something Bosh couldn't do in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? If I was sitting there with a ballot, no matter what stats he had, and I looked and I seen a Chris Bosh, I seen, you know, a Carmelo Anthony, because if you look at Carmelo Anthony right now, he's making plays around him look better in New York. That's what you have to look for, Mike.
Gotcha.
Not just on stats, not just all-star nods, MVPs, whatever. You have to make, you have to look at the general picture. Does this guy make players around him better? I don't see that kind of a player in Chris Bosh. Can I look at a Dwayne Wade and say that? Absolutely.
I think you make a great point there. I concur with that completely.
Yeah, I see players like that getting into the Hall of Fame. To me, it has to be about stats. It has to be about what you do on and off the court. That's what makes you a Hall of Fame player. There is nothing about Chris Bosh, in my eyes and in my opinion, that makes him a Hall of Fame player.
Mm-hmm.
Could it change? I think so, but right now, no. My opinion, Mike.
Well,
like, you know me, lifelong basketball fan. I've played on multiple levels. I've watched, I've followed, I've studied. I can tell you when I think a player is going to be a Hall of Fame player. But when you come out with crap like that, you know, you just put a whole bunch of heat on yourself.
Yeah, and my sentiment, I guess, is a little more basic. And my basic sentiment is I don't care what sport you're in. You know, while you're sitting there playing, even if you are, you know, putting up terrific numbers, you know, maybe there are many in the media that place you in amongst an elite crowd. You don't self-proclaim yourself as being a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, exactly.
That's for someone else to make that determination.
Yes, H2O Willie in our chat room right now, he said Rodman is in the Hall of Fame, is a Hall of Famer just like Ozzie Smith is because of defense.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
If you are good at something, what is Chris Bosh really good at? Is he a good defensive player? Is he a phenomenal offensive player that's down the road in 30 years going to say, oh, that Chris Bosh? No. No. You're going to look at other players besides Chris Bosh when you look at the defensive, the offensive side of the ball, blocks, steals, assists, whatever. You know what I mean?
Correct.
You look at John Stockton. No, John Stockton wasn't one of the greatest scorers. He was one of the greatest assist men in the NBA.
Right.
That's how you look at a player. That's where we go with this. Good job, H2O Willie. I liked it. But, you know, what are you going to do? But you know, even now, he said, you know, 20 or more. I mean, almost any player in the NBA now could score 20 or more points a game. So,
yeah,
defense took a backseat many, many, many seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you could score 20-plus points a game now, to me, that doesn't make you. Because you take guys like LeBron, you take guys like Wade, you put them in the early 90s to late 80s NBA with some of these guys like Laimbeer, Oakley, and Rodman in their primes, trust me, they would not be able to get into the paint because the paint just opens now, Mike.
Well, then,
I've said that for many years now.
Then you're saying the threshold actually should probably be elevated.
I think it should be.
Yeah.
I think it should be. I think there should be, a different way to look at the Hall of Fame now and say, okay, listen, each decade and each era has to change.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't base these players. You can't compare Chris to a Dennis Rodman. You know, you can't compare, a Dwight Howard to a Hakeem Olajuwon. You just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. All right, Mike. That's it for our show. Another good one in the books here. Just want to thank all of our listeners once again for joining us here on Fan Junkies Radio. And tomorrow, the debut of Wrestle Chat Radio for our professional wrestling fans right here, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Fan Junkies Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. And as always, frathousesports.net. Out Mike, sidekick in the gang, 5 minutes at the Fratas, always great stuff.
Yep.
FanJunkies.net, sports social networking at its best. Come in for the live chats, NHL season, we're getting them going, it's been great. 100% free for the fan, by the fan, do not forget it.
Mm-hmm.
So, For Mike McShane, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Thank you for listening to Fan Junkies Radio. We'll see you tomorrow for Wrestle Chat Radio here on the Fan Junkies Network.
See you Wednesday.